Welcome to Are You Quizzing Me? I am Vineet Nair with my co-host Aditya Kashyap. This is a quizzing trivia podcast show. Join us as we dive deep into history, science, pop culture, and so much more. Let's get quizzing.
And we're back for episode number 54 of Are You Quizzing Me? Your favorite quizzing and trivia podcast show. Aditya and I are back for another round of quizzing. And before we get to our regular round of quizzing, we have our usual audience question. This is the question I'll ask now, and the answer to which I will reveal at the end of the episode. So the question for today, dear audience, is this. Just like Jason Derulo and Pitbull, who frequently scream their names during their performances, Jamaican rapper Sean Paul has done the same during his musical career. During his performances, the Jamaican rapper often begins and peppers his songs with the phrase Sean De Paul, seemingly to psych himself up before the rest of the lyrics. Recently, however, he has said that he actually is not saying his own name. It's a shout out to someone else. Can you guess who this is? I will reveal the answer to this at the end of today's episode. So now we go to Aditya, who has had us on tenterhooks this past week with that question of his that he asked at the end of last week's episode. So Aditya, what's your answer?
The question I asked last week was, just like October Sky is an anagram for Rocket Boys, which other 90s Hollywood film was also an anagram that was rejected? When it comes to 90s films, is there any more iconic than, at least for kids who were growing up in the 90s, than Home Alone? And Home Alone initially was called One Male, and they realized that isn't a very good name, so they changed it to Home Alone. And that's very accurately exactly what happened. You can quote me on this.
Yeah.
It is the Aditya guarantee from every episode.
Why do you do this to me? Once in a while, you come up with some really big zingers, and then you just drop a stinker like this one. Aditya, come on, man. This one was just painful.
I have to keep you on your toes, Vineet.
Yes, you're keeping us and the audience at our toes. On our toes, rather. Moving past that Vesuvian eruption, let's start our regular round of quizzing. Aditya, why don't you start us off for this week?
Awesome. So, today's episode is a special episode. And you might be wondering, why is it a special episode? Is it because we're celebrating Republic Day? No, we aren't. We did that last year. Turns out not a lot of you were interested in an India special. So instead, we are doing a Vineet special. Vineet's birthday went by very recently. I, genius that I am, knew that, even though Vineet has hidden it from all his social media profiles. So today we're doing a Vineet special. Okay, Vineet, I have some questions. Will find a connect for all the questions eventually, or if you figure it out halfway, let me know.
Let me just give this disclaimer up front. This was not my idea.
Oh, no, Vineet had no clue.
I have been ambushed during this recording for this, and I do not appreciate it. But, chalo, he's put in a lot of effort, I'm guessing, or maybe minimal effort, who knows. So, yeah. Aditya, hit me.
It is the least of all efforts that could be put in. So, our first question is from the world of music.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you two coincidences that are associated with this piece of music, and you have to figure out what piece of music am I talking about.
Okay.
So, this particular piece of music has sometimes been referred to as X. The first letter of X is coincidentally the Roman character for a specific number, and hence the associated phrase is now connected to the song. This association came around in the time of World War II after Winston Churchill started using it. Now, the second piece of coincidence that is associated with this piece of music is that in Morse code, when the first letter of X is also used, it coincides with how this music progresses. Now, I know I've been pretty vague, and I'll give you more clues if you need it. But I just want to know, do you know the answer to what piece of music am I talking about? Let me repeat the two clues again, actually, because that might help. Since the Second World War, when Winston Churchill first used this particular connection, this piece of music has also been referred to as X. The first letter of X, the word X or the phrase X or whatever X is, the first letter of X is coincidentally a specific Roman numeral character. Okay, that's the first coincidence. The coincidence is the first letter of X is a specific Roman numeral character. The second piece of coincidence is that some 30 years after this piece of music came around, the first letter of, again, we're going back to X, in Morse code had a representation that coincidentally was similar to the song itself. What piece of music am I talking about?
Dun, 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 dun.
Ooh, very good, very good. Yes, indeed. We are talking about the letter V as the first letter.
Beethoven's, yeah.
It's the Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And we did that very accurate first four notes. That ta-ta-ta-ta, which is the expression for the letter V in Morse code, which is also the number 5 in Roman numerals. The phrase that I was referring to, by the way, is called Victory Symphony, because Winston Churchill...
V for victory.
...started using exactly the phrase V for victory, and this piece of music came to signify victory, V. V being the fifth letter, Fifth Symphony. Ta-ta-ta-ta. All right, Vineet, that brings us to our first question. Let's move back to you.
Now, since you asked me a musical question, I am going to do the same. The history of whaling in New Zealand stretches from the late 18th century to 1965. In 1831, the British-born Weller brothers, Edward, George and Joseph, who had immigrated to Sydney in 1829, founded a whaling station at Otaku near modern Dunedin in the South Island of New Zealand. In 1931, New Zealand's Governor-General, Lord Bledisloe, recalled how the Weller brothers had, on their voyage to New Zealand, brought in the Lucy Ann, which was their ship, a good deal of rum and a good deal of gunpowder. From 1833, the Weller brothers sold provisions to whalers in New Zealand. Their employees became known as X. The term X blew its way into the public consciousness in 2021. What is the term X and how do we know it?
Very interesting. A term from whaling in New Zealand in the 19th century?
Yes.
Is something that became prevalent during 2021.
Yes, and I guarantee you, even though you may have not consciously noted this term, and I have heard that other people have misheard this term, you definitely know where this is coming from.
Okay. I'm completely lost right now, so I would love a clue.
My first clue is what I said before I asked the question, that since you asked me a musical question, I'm going to ask you a musical question.
Oh, is it a sea shanty?
Okay, which one?
I'm assuming shanty.
No, a sea shanty is basically like one of those songs that people sing on sea, like they do in factories as well, so that they can have a rhythm to a workflow, right? So there are multiple people working in chains. So that's a sea shanty. There are multiple sea shanties. I'm asking for one very specific one, which is, I guarantee you know this particular sea shanty. You've heard it. You couldn't escape it at one point.
I was living outside of India in 2021. And I believe 2021, I'm not sure when was the TikTok ban. But I remember this sea shanty going viral on Instagram and TikTok at some point.
Yes, yes. That's the same
I know
sea shanty
which one you're
talking
about. I just don't remember the name.
Exactly. So you have got most of it. It's the Wellermen. So the Weller brothers and their employees were known as their employee would be known as a Wellerman.
Right.
And do you know the song? The one that was made famous by Nathan Evans.
There once was a.
Okay, let me see if I can get that. There once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was the Billy O.T. The winds blew up her bow, dip down, or blow, my bully boys, blow. Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. So I've heard people mishear wellerman for weatherman. So that's why I said you may have misheard it.
You know, it's your birthday. You should not be giving me the gift of your beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That was quite the performance. I love it. You have a future as a sea shanty singer.
Okay. So for our audience, a little background on this, because this has a very rich history. New Zealand-based music teacher and composer Neil Colquhoun claimed to have collected the song around 1966 from one Mr. F.R. Woods, who was in his 80s at the time and had allegedly heard his song from his uncle. In 1973, the song was included in Colquhoun's book of New Zealand folk songs. The song has been frequently performed and remixed with over 10 recorded renditions between 1971 and 2005. In 2013, the Wellington Sea Shanty Society, yes, and that's an actual thing, the Wellington Sea Shanty Society released a version of their song on their album, Now That's What I Call Sea Shanties, Volume 1. A particularly well-known rendition of the song was made by a Bristol-based a cappella musical group, The Longest Johns, on their collection of nautical songs, and a version by Scottish musician Nathan Evans further increased the song's exposure. It was popularized as a sea shanty despite being more accurately described as a ballad. There was a surge in interest in sea shanties and numerous remixes and versions. People speculate the reason why Evans's version became so popular was that its authentic sense of stoic forbearance has appealed to young people in lockdown during the COVID-19 pandemic, who, like the 19th century whalers, are similarly marking time. Because of its origin on TikTok, the trend of performing such sea shanties on social media has been called shanty talk.
I gotta hand it to you. That was a really fun question. And made that much better by your performance. Wow. Any listeners, please send us comments and suggestions of other songs that we can perform.
No!
Make it in the form of a question. Actually, you know what? Let Vinit do the work. Don't even make it in the form of a question. Just send him a DM on Instagram or an email on our email account. Oh, and tell him, I need trivia about this specific song. He'll find the trivia. Vinit is a trivia hound. Don't worry about that part.
Just make sure he sees.
All right. Okay. After that really cool performance, let's move on to the second question. By the way, Vinit, any clue as to what the connect is?
I'm guessing you're going to spell out Vinit.
So let's not pretend to keep that a mystery anymore. It is Vinit being spelled out. So the first question, the answer was going to start with the V. So let's make this progressively tougher because he already knows the starting letter for all our subsequent questions. Okay. So I'm assuming you have heard about the Society of Jesus, also known as
the Jesuits. Yes.
Lovely. Yes, you do. Okay. So, Jesuits, or the Society of Jesus, was founded by a Spanish Catholic priest and theologian who, along with six companions, founded this particular religious order. I need you to tell me what the name of this particular Spanish Catholic priest was, who was the founder of the Jesuits, and which very famous 90s movie character did he inspire?
90s movie character Iago? The parrot from Aladdin?
Well, that's a fun guess, actually, because I was considering that character also as a source for inspiration. But no, that is not the character we have in question right now. And a little clarification, I said 90s. This movie actually came out in 1987.
Oh, so the 80s, late 80s. Oh, I'm going to guess this is Iñigo, as in Iñigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That was too easy. Vinit is making short game of all of my questions, but I love that. That's what Vinit is in a
nutshell. The moment you said I and the 80s character, the only one I could think of was Inigo Montoya.
Perfect crack. The Princess Bride is the 1987 film that had the very iconic character who repeated his name in the very iconic line, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." This, interestingly enough, was a character inspired by Ignatius of Loyola.
Okay.
Who was born Inigo and eventually chose the more Latinized version of his name, Ignatius, because even though he was born in Spain, he moved towards Italy and those regions and hence thought that the name Ignatius would be easier. Inigo of Loyola or Ignatius of Loyola was the one who founded the Jesuits eventually. And I thought that was a little interesting piece of trivia right there.
And I'm guessing Ignatius had nothing to do with the Dread Pirate Roberts either.
Nothing at all. Interestingly, some very, I guess you can call it serendipitous or maybe slightly exaggerated parallels between the two characters, two people. Both Inigos are Spanish swordsmen who place a lot of value on honor and at some point even wanted vengeance. So there's an anecdote about how Ignatius of Loyola also wanted vengeance at some point in his youth. So yeah, a little interesting piece of history that I thought was worthy of your birthday special. All right, let's move on to your question.
Okay. I seem to have a lot of music questions. Afreen, Afreen. Have you heard the song,
Aditya? Yeah.
Afreen, Afreen. Yes. Okay, great. Afreen, Afreen was first performed in 1996 by Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. And it was later covered by Rahat Fateh Ali Khan and Mumina Mustaseen in 2016 on Coke Studio, the Pakistani version. It is currently the 10th most watched YouTube video of Pakistani origin. And the song describes the beauty of a woman. And in the lyrics, her body is compared to many things, including fragrant moonlight and the first rays of the sun, amongst many, many others. It's a huge list of refrains. In particular, the lyrics compare her beauty to statues at a particular UNESCO heritage site. Which one? And how, can you tell me how that ended up in a song that is so strictly identified as Pakistani?
So the statue that the beauty is being compared to is not a Pakistani statue.
Yes. That's my first and practically only clue.
First thing that comes to mind is Statue of Liberty?
No. That would be a little difficult to push into an Urdu song.
Yeah, I don't know many Urdu words that rhyme with Statue of Liberty. Wow, what statue? I'm trying to think of shows, I guess, how male-dominated the world is. Because I'm trying to think of female statues, famous female statues. And not a lot.
This wouldn't be... my clue to you would be this. It's not one particular statue. It's like a lot of statues in a particular place, which is a UNESCO heritage site.
Oh.
So it's like saying her body is like a statue from this place.
The Terracotta Army?
No, no, no. Those, I think, are predominantly male. So that'll be a little weird.
Right, yeah, okay. Bunch of statues in one place. Is it some museum or a gallery then we're talking about?
No.
I'm so confused. I have no clue right now at all.
Okay, so I'll give you a clue. The reason I think at least that this particular reference made its way into the song is because the person who wrote the song was Indian.
Hold on. So in India, oh, right. Is it a temple?
No, not a temple, but you are somewhere in the right vicinity.
Oh, is it like an engraving on stone? Is it some cave or something?
Yes. Closer, closer, very close, very
Ajanta.
Close.
Ajanta, is it Ajanta, right?
Yes, the Ajanta and Ellora Caves. So the lyric goes, "Jism jaise Ajanta ki murat koi," which literally right, yeah, means exactly. Her body is like a statue of the Ajanta Caves. Do you know who wrote the song?
No, I have no clue.
Javed Akhtar.
Ah, of course, that makes sense.
Javed Akhtar had collaborated with Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan in the 90s. Mm. And this was one of the songs that had come out of that. Beautiful, beautiful song. If you've not heard it, please go online and listen to it. It's just an amazing song. The poetry of Javed Akhtar really comes out in this particular one. I just want, for the sake of our audience, just a few examples of what he's compared her body to, right? A statue of Ajanta Caves, like a spell on the eyes, like a beautiful song, like a tilting rhythm, like fragrant moonlight, like a blossoming garden, like the first rays of the sun, like fragrant sandalwood, like white marble. Her face is like the life of a ghazal. Faces like a lotus flower. The pure poetry in this is just amazing. It's a little difficult, especially if you don't speak Urdu, to understand it. You'll have to do what I did and go check out an English translation. But damn, the man can write.
I mean, sure, those are great comparisons. But did he compare her to the Terracotta Army? Because
no,
that's
I don't
when
think
I will be truly impressed.
Yes, yes. Basically, I think every woman loves to be compared to have her beauty compared to that of a dusty old group of men who've been underground for the past 2000 years.
If anything, I think it is representative of a struggle that a lot of women go through, where for thousands of years they were just ignored. And
now you're just digging yourself out of that hole.
All right, yeah. I am going to stop myself right there. But that is a fun little question. Nice. I have obviously heard the song so many times before, and it probably was at the back of my head, but never quite realized why. And that's a lovely connection. Okay, great. The Ajanta Ellora Caves in Afrin, Afrin. All right. So from that fun little question, let's move on to the world of sports. Now, this particular question is about baseball. And I'm assuming, in general, since you don't follow sports too much, and baseball is already such a niche sport that not a lot of Indians at least follow, I imagine your baseball trivia is not exactly... Okay. Unbridled. All right. So let us try and help you along. This particular baseball player, his name is Adrian Beltre. I want to assume that's how the last name is pronounced. Beltre. Adrian Beltre is a Dominican former professional baseball third baseman. He played for LA Dodgers, Seattle Mariners, Boston Red Sox, Texas Rangers in the Major League Baseball in the US. And he is regarded as one of the greatest third basemen of all time.
Okay.
He made a decision very early on in his career not to wear a protective cup near your groin, despite playing third base, and that has been very well documented. This came back to hurt him on August 12, 2009, when he took a hard ground ball to the groin. Although he stayed in for the remainder of the 14-inning victory, he was eventually sent to the hospital because there was bleeding in one of his testicles, and you can imagine... needed a lot of time to recover from that. When he eventually came back, his teammate, Ken Griffey Jr., conspired with those responsible for the public address system in that field to have Beltre's at-bat intro music to be a specific piece of music. Which piece of music did Ken Griffey Jr., a teammate of Beltre's, play when Beltre came back from his injury?
Wow, that took a left turn. That question took a definite left turn. What piece of music would he have played? Obviously, they're teammates. It'll be a practical joke of some kind. So I'm guessing the song has some reference to balls or testicles or something like that.
You are absolutely right in assuming how juvenile this question and my sense of humor is.
Okay. I cannot think of anything right now. Is the song title that's beginning with N, or does the song begin with an N?
Okay. So I'll help you a little bit over here. This song, the name itself might not be very familiar to you, but I would have taken the name of the musical that it is part of. So it is the opening march from this particular classic?
Particular classic musical starting with an N. Musical
might be a little bit of a stretch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like a musical in an Indian sense? Like music is part of... No. No. Okay.
No.
So it's like a musical in their sense where they actually have dancing and things like that.
A Broadway show. Yeah.
A Broadway show starting with the letter N. Oh, this is not easy. At least I can't remember of Broadway shows.
Remember the context of this whole question to begin with?
Baseball, balls, basically.
Yeah. Okay, glad. That should
because when you said opening march for a second, I thought they might have taken the music from the Star Wars spoof film called Spaceballs. But, wow, I'm not getting the connect. Any other clue?
Of course, there's more to help you along. Apart from this performance, the other theater pieces that have come by the same artist include The Sleeping Beauty and Swan Lake.
Oh, I know this. This is Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker it is. That is the piece of music that was played when Adrian Baltre came back because he had, really injured his groin.
This is the Nutcracker Suite.
The Nutcracker Suite. The Nutcracker is an 1892 classical ballet. So when I said musical, that was a bit of a stretch. But I didn't want to make it too easy for Vineet. So I will pardon myself that fault. Adrian Baltre, when injured in his groin, once he came back, his teammate Ken Griffey Jr. had the opening march from the Nutcracker Suite to be played as Baltre's at-bat intro music, which I thought was hilarious.
It is hilarious. Something that... very juvenile, very male sense of humor, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if there's a video of that. I should dig it up. Okay, so my question to you is a little far away from the green fields of baseball. In recent times, there's been a significant amount of criticism and opposition directed towards X. Many individuals attribute various health-related issues, including heart attacks, depression, workplace injuries, and traffic accidents to the practice of X. Experts have suggested that this may be due to the disruption of the body's natural circadian rhythm. I want you to identify what X is, which is something that does not apply to individuals living in India currently, but has a substantial impact on people residing in other parts of the world.
We speak of daylight savings time, don't we, Vineet?
Oh, that was fast. That was very fast. But yes, daylight savings time. And do you know why I specifically mentioned that it does not apply to individuals living in India currently?
Oh, don't tell me. Are they planning to bring it in?
No, India actually did observe a daylight savings time for a few short years. So, just some background for our audience. The practicing of advancing clocks, typically by 1 hour, so that the darkness follows at a later clock time, is called daylight savings time. The typical implementation of daylight savings time is to set clocks forward by 1 hour in either the late winter or spring, and set clocks back by 1 hour in the fall or autumn to return to standard time. The idea of aligning waking hours to daylight hours to conserve candles was first conceptualized in 1784 by, do you know who?
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, by Benjamin Franklin. But however, it was in a satirical letter to the editor of the Journal of Paris, where he suggested that waking up earlier in the summer would economize on candle usage and calculated considerable savings. Currently, many countries, most famously the US, does use daylight savings time. India observed daylight savings time only for a short period between 1941 and 1945 during World War II.
Cool. I didn't know of this trivia, obviously, because I think I watched a daylight savings video very recently.
Have watched the same one.
Maybe. As soon as you mentioned the health effects and stuff, I was like, okay, I know where you're going with this. Okay, so keeping in mind that we don't have all the time in the world, I'm going to combine the next two letters in Vineet's name into a single question. And those are the letters E. But I'm not being lazy. All I'm doing is, in this case, both the letters E have to appear in the answer somewhere. Okay? So the two letters consecutively, E, E, have to appear in the answer somewhere. All right. So tell me, Vineet, if you know, there has been a day-long festival that has been taking place in Austin, Texas, in the United States of America, since 1963. It typically occurs on the last Saturday of April in Austin's Pease District Park. It includes live music, food, and drink, which benefit local nonprofit organizations. And that is the situation today after many years. Initially, it used to be a very small, informal sort of gathering of people back in 1963 when it started. The event is frequented by children and families, with specific events presented for them by the event organizers, right? So it's a day-long festival held in Austin, Texas. It started in 1963, happens in a park, used to be a very small group of people initially, and has now become a full-fledged thing that happens with children and families attending. Can you tell me which character is this festival meant to honor? Which fictional character is this festival meant to honor?
Speedy Gonzalez?
No.
Wow. Can you hit the salient points again, just so that I can conceptualize what this answer might be?
A lot of it was descriptors about the festival, which won't really guide you to the answer. So I'm just going to tell you what is important. It is a day-long festival. It is held in Austin, Texas, started in 1963. It actually started, let me give you some additional information, actually. In 1963, when it started, it was supposed to be a spring party and picnic before the beginning of revision week by students at the University of Texas at Austin. So these students, they got together right before their revision week or their intense week of preparation before exams come around to have a spring party and picnic in 1963. The pretext was as a celebration for this fictional character. This fictional character you might not typically associate with college students. You would associate with much younger people, much younger kids.
Tweety Bird?
No.
Younger characters, younger children, revision week, college students. Is it an animated character or is it a literary character?
It exists across various media.
Oh, evil man.
Okay. So
Wile E. Coyote?
No. All right, let me give you some clues. Hopefully this will help you along. The reason that they gave for this festival is because this character thought that his friends had forgotten his birthday. Eventually turns out that his friends had planned a surprise birthday party. So they celebrated as this character's birthday party. Okay. We are, of course, talking about a character beloved to children. So it is in that realm of media and entertainment. Another hint that I will give you is that the name of this character happens to be, oh Jesus, I don't know how to pronounce this word. I always struggle with it. An onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia, okay.
Onomatopoeia? Onomatopoeia? All right.
Okay, yeah. You know, let's just assume what we know what it is. That's it. Basically, a sound, a word that describes something and it's similar to what it sounds, right?
Okay. Well, you explained it for any audience member who did not understand what I was mumbling. Yes, it is the word which describes the sound associated with usually an animal, but could be other things.
The thing that really throwing me off is from the 60s. And you are expecting for us to remember the fact that there was a plot point where this person's birthday was forgotten. So that's what's really throwing me off.
I don't remember that. I just was giving you maybe a little bit of a hint as to what world it belongs to, what world this character belongs to. And also to clarify, this festival started in the 60s, but the character is a few decades older. You know what? I'm going to make it even easier for you. The two E's are the first two letters of the name.
You know, the only thing that's coming to my mind right now is E.E. Cummings, the author. wait,
all right, one last clue. One last
okay,
clue.
Yeah. Before I throw in the towel.
This character is considered by many, at least today, to be suffering from depression. And
I know this. This is Eeyore from the Winnie the Pooh series.
Absolutely, yes. You got it. Yeah. It is Eeyore, the donkey from Winnie the Pooh series, who many perhaps have rightly assessed as being depressed or as having suffered depression during the course of the books. And a rather positive portrayal of how somebody while suffering from depression is still functional and kind of takes the stigma out of depression, which is lovely. Eeyore's birthday party is what is celebrated in Austin, Texas today. It's a day-long festival. And it so happens that the canonical birthday for the character Eeyore happens on a completely different day. But for some reason, the students of University of Texas at Austin decided that they want to celebrate it during spring, right before their exam week. And I think that's kind of cute. So today it has become a full-fledged festival where children and families come and get to enjoy a bunch of organized events and stuff. Eeyore, by the way, in the storyline that I mentioned, is sad that he thinks when he realizes that his friends have forgotten his birthday, and yet in typical Eeyore fashion doesn't do anything about it, only to realize at the end of the story that his friends actually remembered and they did secretly organize a birthday party for him.
Very nice. Very unexpected, because we do find a lot of Winnie the Pooh references, Tigger references, but Eeyore references are not that common. So kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Yeah. Lovely piece of trivia for the two E's in your name. All right, Vineet, let's go with your question.
Okay. My question is as follows. The Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment, GRACE for short, was a joint mission of NASA and the German Aerospace Center. Twin satellites took detailed measurements of the Earth's gravity field anomalies from its launch in March 2002 to the end of its science mission in October 2017. The two GRACE satellites, GRACE 1 and GRACE 2, were launched from the Plesetsk Cosmodrome in Russia on 17th March 2002. The spacecraft were launched at an initial altitude of approximately 500 kilometers at a near polar inclination of 89 degrees. During normal operations, the satellites were in endless pursuit of each other, always being separated by 220 kilometers along their orbit track. What nickname was given to these two satellites?
Jack and Jill.
No. You have the right idea, but not the... Not actually the right idea, but... Actually, you're nowhere even close. I'm sorry.
Wow. You just dangled it in front of me and then snatched it away.
There is a clue in my question. So maybe if you can think back to the question and try to ponder.
Did you mention something about their movement type? Can you describe that part again?
Yes, okay. So, during normal operations, the satellites were in endless pursuit of each other, always being separated by 220 kilometers along their orbit track.
Oh, okay. Always in pursuit of each other. So, I'm thinking some classic cartoons like Tom and Jerry or Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
You already got it. It's Tom and Jerry.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
So they call these two satellites Grace 1, Tom, Grace 2, Jerry.
Okay.
And what is really sweet is that in 2018, the collaboration between NASA and the German Aerospace Center gave birth to two more satellites as part of the new Grace FO mission, which was the Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment follow-on, which was the successor to the 2002 Grace mission. These again had two satellites and they were also nicknamed Tom and Jerry.
Very cute. All right, let's move on from that very lovely question, actually. A little throwback to childhood, just like Winnie the Pooh was. I'm loving this episode so much. Okay, this one, I guess, should also be a, well, throwback in some way, shape, or form. As most of my questions today for Vineet have been in the space of entertainment, I'm going to continue with that trend. And I'm going to talk about a sportsman who turned into an actor. This particular sportsman was an American Olympic swimmer, a water polo player, and later on in life, an actor. As an actor, he played a very iconic character in 12 feature films. There is a piece of trivia associated with him and this character. Legend has it that during the Cuban Revolution, he was in Cuba, and when surrounded by rebels who realized that he was American, he did something iconic associated with this character, and they chose not to bring him to any harm because they recognized him as that iconic character and instead took him to safety, those rebels themselves. You are smiling rather broadly. I'm already regretting giving away too much information, but Vineet, do you have an answer for me?
To be fair, and flex coming up, I would have gotten this even if you hadn't told me about the tea thing. So this is Johnny Weissmuller, who played Tarzan famously in the 30s and 40s, if not guessing.
Ooh, very quick crack. Oh my God, I know you knew the first letter, but yeah, even the fact that you know Johnny Weissmuller's full name, I thought you would just get Tarzan, but you got the actor's name, and I am very impressed. Yes, Johnny Weissmuller.
I'm guessing he did the Tarzan yell when confronted by Cuban revolutionaries. But if I remember correctly, they also, they had kind of synthesized that yell from like multiple animal sounds, right? Or was that a later Tarzan?
No, in this case, I believe they used the yell that he himself had recorded, except they manipulated it slightly and played it in reverse.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He originated the famous yell, and it was created by sound recordist Douglas Shearer. Shearer used Weissmuller's normal yell and then manipulated it and played it in reverse. That's how the yell came to be. And you're right, he did use the yell when confronted by the rebels during the Cuban Revolution. And those rebels immediately recognized him as Tarzan and took him to safety, because they loved the character, I guess. He was a 1924 Olympics swimmer, as well as a 1928 Olympic swimmer, which I thought was really cool. I had no idea. Turns out, in a little history repeating itself moment, when the producer, Jerry Weintraub, was talking about the new Tarzan, he mentioned that he was angling to get Michael Phelps to play the role, and then decided last minute not to go ahead with it because he saw him in some commercial and realized that, oh, okay, never mind. I don't think Michael Phelps
has... Yeah, he's very wooden. He's very wooden.
And eventually the role went to Alexander Skarsgård instead of Michael Phelps. That would have been an interesting movie. Not that I'm saying Michael Phelps is a great actor, but I can't deny it would have been fun to see him act in a Tarzan film.
I think, if I remember correctly, I think Johnny Weissmuller was selected because of the fact that he was a swimmer. He had a swimmer's physique, you know, very wide, broad shoulders, you know, huge, that V shape with a narrow waist. I think they wanted that particular aesthetic for the Tarzan serials.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so because we are running short of time, I am going to skip ahead to the last question of today's Vineet special. And so far, we have gotten V-I-N-E-E-T. And obviously, the last answer is going to start with the letter H. Okay. Since we spoke about famous fictional characters, let's do one more of those questions. All right. So for this question, I'm going to describe the plot that this character was involved in. And you tell me which character am I talking about. This pilot crashed and was attacked and killed by a group of Native Americans. Many years later, his skeleton was discovered by another prominent character. The original character, the character in question, let's call him X. X's partner was also in the crash, however, did not die. He instead became mythologized in some way. Which very iconic character am I talking about?
So, the mythologized character is the dead pilot's partner.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to make things slightly simpler. So, the dead pilot, that character is X. The dead pilot's partner, who became mythologized and did not die in the crash, is why X's skeleton was discovered many years later by Z. So X, Y, and Z. X is the character in question, but Y wow. and Z should hopefully help you along as well.
It sounds weirdly familiar, but then I'm not able to... For a second, I was thinking of Skull Island and King Kong and things like that, but that's not the case.
You might not have read this particular story.
Okay.
Let me make it actually clearer. It's a comic book. So you might not have read this particular comic book. However, you definitely know these characters.
Whoa. Comic books that I have not read. Not that I'm a huge comic geek or anything like that, but I have read a few comics in my day, and this just... Pilot crashes, dies, eaten by natives.
But just to be fair, even if you do know Superman, you've not read every single Superman comic, and hence you would not know every single Superman plot line. So,
but then this is, okay, this is just one plot line. This is not like the origin story plot line or something like that.
No, no, this isn't the origin story plot line. This is a famous plot line for a specific reason. You might not have read it.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me tell you what the reason is also. Huh. It is the first time that X and Z ever appeared together. So X and Z belong to two different franchises. It is the first time X and Z appear together. And in some ways, Z was a reincarnation of X. You could call it that. I use that word very loosely, but maybe.
Okay, so I'm guessing then that X is an older character. And Z is a more newer, more familiar character who was based off on some way... On X.
No, no, I'm going to stop you there. Z was not based off of X, and both X and Z are very famous in and of themselves, and they are very separate characters. All right, let me give you one last hint, which
I'm just puzzled. Yeah.
X and Z are played by the same actor, which is why I called him, well, a reincarnation. They are completely unrelated. They're just played by the same actor.
What? Daredevil and Batman were played by the same actor. Who else
Let me stop you right there. Both of these characters are not originally comic book characters.
So they're literary characters.
Not necessarily. That is, they are also both created by the same person.
This is just evil. Evil. Created by the same person. Y was mythologized, and we are not even talking by Y, but X and Z were played by the same actor.
Played by the same actor, created by the same person. Both are not initially or originally comic book characters, even though there have been multiple comic books based off of both of them. Both belong to separate universes and franchises. This was the only plot line, the one I described about the crash landing, the only plot line in which they
kind
together.
Of crossed over. They crossed over. I'm guessing chronologically then why Z is obviously a later character, right? Chronologically.
Z first came to being in the 80s and X was in the 70s.
Deadpool and Green Lantern? No. They're not created by the same people. Deadpool was Rob Liefeld and I don't think, he was in the 90s. So, wow, same actor. I'm racking my brain to think of actors who've played more than one kind of fictional character who could be portrayed in comics. But you said they're not originally from comics either.
Oh, let me go as far as saying that these two characters are what you remember this actor for. A very
famous
actor.
You evil man. Wild guess, okay? Is this Indiana Jones dying in a plane crash and being eaten by cannibals and then this being discovered by Han Solo?
Han Solo was a pilot. Han Solo crashed his plane.
Oh, okay. Indiana Jones. Okay, yeah, because it happens in a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Okay. Okay.
And both Han Solo and Chewbacca got into some hyperspace kind of thingamajee. During this plot line, and they ended up on Earth where they crash landed. This instantly killed the character Han Solo. Chewbacca, however, escaped and became mythologized as Sasquatch. When Indiana Jones, many years later, is searching for the Sasquatch, he comes across the bones of Han Solo. And H for Han Solo is what I was going for. I think, which we completely lost
track
of.
That was nice question. That was a very nice question. I would not have guessed that. Wow, I did not know that there was an Indiana Jones Han Solo crossover.
I was blown away, and I think it's sounds like a really cool plot line. I don't know how great the comic actually is. But obviously, it is a non-canon comic, so this isn't obviously part of canon for either Indiana Jones or Han Solo.
True.
But it is something that is out there in the world. The name of the comic, by the way, is Into the Great Unknown.
Into the Great Unknown. Have you heard of this movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot?
I have not heard of this movie, no.
Yeah, it's not a completely mainstream film, but it's a fantastic, you know, movie set in the 80s. Starring Sam Elliott and his glorious mustache. He stars as a man who's actually had killed Hitler and now is on the hunt for Bigfoot. Sounds very weird, but it's a very nice movie. It's very weird, but it's a very nice movie.
Cool, I'll check it out. Is that your recommendation for the week?
I guess it is, yes. I would put that as a recommendation for this week because that's a fantastic movie. Not many people have heard of it or seen it, but basically I could just watch Sam Elliott painting a fence. Little Tom Sawyer reference there.
Yeah, that was very cool. All right, Vineet, that brings me to the end of my questions and I assume the end of the episode. Happy birthday once again.
Thank you. Okay, so what's your question for this week? What are you going how are you going to inflict pain on our audience?
I think it's a better way to put it. So you mentioned the two satellites and how they're called Tom and Jerry. But what if these two satellites were launched by India? What would they have been called instead? That is the question I'm going to ask. And you'll find out the answer next week.
Yes. Let me just say we are looking forward to it. So Aditya, I had asked a question at the beginning of today's episode. Right. So the question was, just like Jason Derulo and Pitbull, who frequently scream their names during their performances, Jamaican rapper Sean Paul has done the same during his musical career. During his performances, he often begins and peppers songs with the phrase Sean De Paul, seemingly to psych himself up before the rest of the lyrics. Recently in an interview, he said that he actually is not saying his own name. It's a shout out to somebody else. Do you know who is talking about and what the funda is here?
I'm so glad you brought this question up. Oh, well, I guess I can say I'm not very glad because it was part of my future bank of questions. So otherwise, I would not have known this answer. It is really cool. I think it is the West Indian cricketer, Shivnarayan Chandrapal, that he is trying to reference, apparently. And that made no sense to me, but... Yeah, because it came up recently and that's why it was up on my social media somewhere and I loved the trivia. Chandrapal.
Yeah. The funny thing is, a fan a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, apparently had tweeted that whenever Sean does the Sean De Paul on his songs, that it kind of sounds like Chandrapal in a Jamaican accent. So the fan had put a tweet out there, but nobody paid too much attention to it until a few years later when he's like, no, I'm not talking about my own name. This is there's a Guyanese cricketer who plays for the West Indian cricket team by the name of Shiv Narayan Chandrapal, who is of Indian ethnicity way back when, hence the name Shiv Narayan Chandrapal, or in Indian pronunciation will be Shiv Narayan Chandrapal. But when Jamaican...
I'm not even sure what accent that is.
I don't know either. Shiv Narayan Chandrapal. Why am I saying the name again and again? Sean De Paul sounds so much better.
Yeah, it does. All right. Very cool.
So I've already given my popular pop culture recommendation for this week, which was The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
All right. So for my recommendation, since we spoke about Star Wars, Indiana Jones, I'm going to recommend a Star Wars canon film. It was a 2016 film, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So it was an independent film. It wasn't part of the three trilogies, but it is part of Star Wars canon. And I thought it did what a good Star Wars film should do without doing too much of it, which has been kind of the problems with the recent trilogies. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that was a good film, a 2016 film. You also said something about a man from... A man who killed Bigfoot.
The man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
Man who killed Hitler and then Bigfoot. So, for some reason, that I also associated that to one of my favorite films, The Man from Earth.
Oh, I was literally just thinking of that. I was like, I should mention The Man from Earth when he finishes talking about this. oh my God, that's just like, wow.
I'm glad we are synced up. Yeah, The Man from Earth is a phenomenal film.
Phenomenal.
One of those films which does not need to rely upon any fancy gimmicks and still blows your mind. It's a science fiction film, to make it clearer. And I won't want to give away too much, but this isn't a spoiler because it happens in the beginning of the film. A character claims that he has been alive for tens of thousands of years. And the rest of the film is what follows. So absolutely check it out if that sounds like something you'd be interested in. There isn't anything fancy. There is no great CGI. There are no green screens. And sometimes the cinematography kind of sucks also. But the film does not seem any lesser for that. It is, in fact, a great film. So yes, those are my two film recommendations. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and The Man from Earth.
And if you watch Rogue One, which is, again, as Aditya mentioned, a fantastic film, far better than some of the recent Star Wars movie fare that we've been exposed to, I would also recommend a Star Wars series which is linked to this called Andor, which is also quite tense, and it links directly into Rogue One. So that's also a fantastic show.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay, so that's all for this episode. Thank you, Aditya, for this particular theme episode of yours, and thank you, audience, for listening in. We hope you enjoyed the show and learned something new. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review on whichever platform you're listening to us on. It helps us reach a wider audience and allows more people to discover and enjoy the show. We'd love to hear from you. Feedback, suggestions, trivia. If you have any questions that you want asked on the show, send us an email with the name of the quizmaster who you want to ask the question in the subject line. You can reach us at our email, which is ruquizzingme@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Instagram at ruquizzingme. We appreciate your support. Look forward to sharing more episodes within the future. Thanks again for tuning in and have a great day.
See you guys next week.